Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. Jim Ronding and Gary Callagher here from RE/MAX. Gary is up there in the Twin Ports with you all, and I am down here in Punta Gorda, Florida. And we've continued to do this little radio show, Gary, ever since I moved down here. So how are you, Mr. Callagher?
Well, we're doing good, Jim. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving, and we're back to bring some good real estate news locally, nationally, and from the great state of Florida, where Jim's hanging out. And a lot of interesting news this week, Jim.
Well, we've got
some of the biggest news that we've got going on. We got a local story, but I still think the mortgage interest rates really are at the forefront of the industry news. I mean, and I think that they're easing. And I think that the conventional 30-year mortgage, Jim, is currently under 7%.
Right. Thank goodness.
And we haven't seen that for quite some time.
Yep.
And so that's good. The FHA 30-year is at 7.25, and the VA is actually that 30-year term for the VA loans are at 6.75. So that's a good sign. And I think if as we've been reporting all summer and dealing with these mortgage interest rates, the experts and a lot of things that have been written have predicted this.
Right.
That the interest rates are going to start to ease in the fourth quarter and into next year. And so it'll be interesting to see how this shakes out. But it seems that we've peaked on these interest rates and we're moving in the right direction on them. And I think this coincides with the activity levels that have picked up. I know in our market, we've gotten busier. And I don't know how your market is, but this is certainly a good thing that we're seeing some easing in this real estate market with these rates.
Right. Well, Gary, I have a new interest rate chart that shows 200 years of, it's actually more than 200 years of history of interest rates. You want to take a guess at what the interest rate was in 1798?
Did they? Oh my God, that was before. I don't even know who the governing bodies for banking would be. That was that was before the Federal Reserve was established.
Exactly.
I don't know. I mean,
take a guess.
I've read some things.
It's very close to what we are now. Take a guess.
22%.
No, it was close to where we are now. It was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 8.1. 8.1.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting that to even have that type of historical data.
And I think that what we need to be teaching, and I think our new young buyers about interest rates is that they've lived their whole life in low interest rates, and their whole life is just a blip of the radar on interest rates, though. And historically, they had never, ever, ever in the last 200 plus years been as low as they've been. So when we are coming back into the sevens and the sixes, that's kind of what I would say, not an average, but it's actually might even be a low average. So, we need to tell people that the chances of them going back down, to the point of, getting a mortgage for 4.5% or something like that, probably not going to happen. And now that these rates have eased, the economy, the inflation has eased. They've done it sort of, I guess. And, it's not a bad time to buy. And these rates, if you're going to wait until they get lower, you might be waiting with futility.
Well, I think what we experienced with these low rates, Jim, which to me is historical, and I think we're always going to look back on this time from, say, 2016 to, 2022 or, whatever, early 2022, is that the government was subsidizing and buying mortgage-backed securities. That's what happened. And when we got into the housing recession in the late 2000s and nothing was going on, there was simply no activity, the government basically was subsidizing buying mortgages. And that led to the era that we just came through, which was cheap money. And the when they stopped the quantitative easing and buying the mortgage-backed security program in March of 2022, that's when the things changed.
Right.
And that's when they shifted. And so we go back into a market now where it's basically a market reaction, correction, and the open market just simply has to take care of itself. And right. this is where these rates are going to be. And I think they probably overshot on the upside a little bit. But I think now that they'll come back and they'll balance. And I hope that they balance between that 5 and 7% range, some in there as we move forward.
Yeah, and I think that we've got ourselves a stubborn Fed chair. You know, he was under a lot of pressure to, you know, at least not move the rates up anymore. And he still did it. So I got to say that, I think maybe we're going to come back into the market norm. And if you do go back to when, you know, the Fed helped out everybody, I mean, we would have been maybe in the second depression if they hadn't made those drastic decisions. That's what it is. And the interest rates are going to be probably pretty steady to where they are now, I see, for the upcoming future. So hopefully we can have some real estate pricing that doesn't go through the roof, but yet doesn't fall too far. So there you go.
Well, Jim, another big story that locally here in the Twin Ports that is come about is the some of the issues that are going on with the London Road housing development that we've certainly talked about over the last few years, and that upscale those townhomes between 36th Avenue East and 40th Avenue East on the upper side of London Road. Story broke last week and that they've hit some hard financial times, and that this there's actually been a notice of foreclosure that's been posted that against a $5.5 million loan that was taken out earlier this year against the developer of this. And along with that, there are some other contractors. There's been some mechanical liens that have been filed against that developer as well. And so, we go by their lot. I know I go by their lot. And I've noticed this summer that there's just simply not been a lot of activity. You know, they built those structures, a lot of them lasted. We were getting into last winter, but they stopped working on it earlier this year, basically, and heard of some challenges and things going on with it.
Wow.
But, you know, I mean, it's really unfortunate. And I really, it's sad to see, because ultimately, if this goes foreclosure and the lender has to take this back, it's going to just delay things. And I know that there had been several of them that had been pending and waiting to close, along with the ones that are already closed. And you got to remember, London Road is undergoing a massive reconstruction project starting, I think, late next year and running through 2026. And if this project isn't completed, you know, it's going to be a real messy situation over there. So, you know, once they start digging up London Road and they start doing all this road construction down there, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out. But if the bank and lender has to take this back, then what's it going to look like? I mean, who's right. going to be running the show there? Is the bank going to, or the lender going to end up being the developer? Are they going to have to hire somebody new? Are they going to need real estate agents to sell this? Because the owner of it was a real estate agent, but, you know, and they were selling them, you know, listing them themselves. And so, it definitely has hit a snag and a standstill, but
yeah.
I'm just hopeful that this thing can move forward, because it, seeing it unfinished like that, when a lot of it should have been completed at this point, is just really unfortunate.
Well, so that's what I was going to ask you. So there are different phases of completion.
Well, there's people that are living in them. I mean, they've sold
right,
several
yeah,
of these already,
that.
And
yep.
I several of them were pending, and there's a couple of them, and each dwelling now, for the most part, has two townhomes. There are a couple singles that they started to build, but two of the units that have two units in each, they're fairly close to being finished, and I know that they had been pending, so I'm not sure what happened. You know, people put money down on these, if they're getting it back, but there's really nothing going on there. And I've heard, I don't know, but I've heard that there's been some issues with some of them, where, you know, whether or not they leaked their windows
right.
or siding or whatever the case may be. So I'm just it's really unfortunate, because I was a big fan of those, and I was excited to see how it was all going to look
right.
when it's done. But to see it going through what it's going through now is just, it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, that sounds like it. Well, Gary, that puts us perfectly at a break. So, folks, hang in there, and we'll be right back. You're tuned into the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. Hey, welcome back to the Twin Ports Real Estate Show. Jim Rodney and Gary Callagher from RE/MAX. And Mr. Callagher, why don't you give out your phone number so people can get a hold of you?
In Twin Ports, I'm at 218-390-0615. I'm licensed in both Minnesota and Wisconsin, in Cloquet, in Esco, in Two Harbors, in Carlton, and all those areas.
There you go. And I'm down here in Punta Gorda, Florida, which is just about 40 miles from Fort Myers. And my number is 218-348-7653. Gary, have you ever heard of going bare?
Well, I guess I've heard the term.
It's not skinny dipping. This is a real estate term. And what it means, Gary, and it's a huge rising trend, is to drop insurance coverage and going bare. And in Florida, we have the highest insurance rates in the country. My insurance just renewed. I thought it was going to be about $6,000, and it ended up to be $4,000, so I was thankful. But there are many others that have policies because their houses are worth so much money. But man, homeowners insurance eclipses car insurance down here easily. And there are 20% of the state of Florida who have gone bare, and they are self-insuring. And there's about 12% of the United States, which I actually found that was quite high too. 12% of the entire United States has gone bare without any insurance. And Gary, if you go back to 2016, the entire country was only 5%. So this is a huge change, huge trend. Insurance disasters have been numerous. We have all watched them on the news in all parts of the country. I lived through Hurricane Ian, sitting right on my couch. So, I mean, and it's a massive storm. I've never been through anything like that, in the Northland. And we've been through a lot of really, really bad storms up there. But anyway, going bare, and one of the obvious things is that if you're going bare and you're not going to have the insurance, you do not have a mortgage. So people who do not...
That was my question. Yeah. I was curious as to...
Yep, because if you drop
it... We know that mortgages require you to have homeowner's insurance.
Well, and you know that if you didn't pay your homeowner's insurance and you just let it go, and your mortgage company, once they find out about it, and they will because they get all the same notices that you do, then they will put their own insurance on it, which only covers their interests. And funny, that insurance will be about three times more than what you're paying now, typically. You know, so you don't want to do that, folks. You don't want to try to go bare if you have a mortgage, because it will be much worse. And the other thing is, when you go bare, you're also, you have to rebuild yourself. And I've met several people here, and they are not paying their insurance, they're going bare, they don't owe any money on their house. And I said, well, what happens if your house is destroyed, or, you know, if you have, you know, $120,000 in damage, if we have another hurricane? And the ones that I talked to said, man, I'm going to cross that bridge when I get there. And when I pushed them, I mean, can you do it? Can you do it? Well, no, I can't. You know, I wouldn't be able to rebuild from that. So I found that kind of idiotic. But anyway, what are your thoughts on going bare?
Well, listen, nobody likes insurance. Nobody likes to pay.
I love insurance.
We're inundated with all different types of insurance.
I love insurance, Gary.
Home insurance. What's that?
I love insurance.
Well,
I happily pay my insurance bills.
That are going on. I mean, yes. And nobody likes to do it. And, you know, so, but the fact of the matter still remains is, if you need it, it's worth it. And yep. So, yeah, the premiums have gotten really out of hand. And, you know, I look at car insurance and having young kids on policies and what it's done to our car insurance. And it's staggering. But yeah. If you need it, there's nothing like it. It's the same thing with health insurance, Jim. Who in their right mind would go bare without health insurance? To me, that's just like a ticking time bomb, because one incident at an emergency room is like, you know, can equate to, like, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars.
Hundreds
of
thousands.
It isn't worth it.
Yeah. Well, and there's a lot of people that simply can't afford that.
I know people are frustrated, and I know that people do it, and I know that they play the percentage games, but it's you know, as they say, it's risky business.
It is risky business. And the other thing that I thought about is that, you know, that comes along with your property protection is liability protection. And that's also pretty huge. I mean, if somebody gets hurt on your property, I mean, are you going to be liable? Are they going to sue you? I mean, are you going to get sued by their insurance company who has to pay the bill? There's all kinds of things. And that brings up another thought, Gary. Folks, and this is pertaining to your own home. If you hire a contractor, you want to make sure that they are bonded, licensed, and insured. And if they're not, then you could be liable if they get hurt while they're up there fixing your roof. So it's something that a lot of people don't ask about, but it's really, really important. So,
well, I think that, and this is a good point, Jim, because I also think that in the event there's like, a shady developer or contractor or whatever out there, I believe that there are some, resources on a state level, and this might go state to state, that allow to recapture maybe some losses.
Yeah.
As long as these contractors were licensed, bonded, and insured, as opposed to just, you know, people doing side jobs, fly by night type of stuff, all that kind of
exactly because even if
things that can go on,
right? Yes. So it's a very interesting subject, and it amazes me. Those percentages are out of this world, in my opinion. But that's what's happened when insurance rates quadruple. So well, go ahead.
We have some interesting statistics I just would like to share, and let me know how we're doing on time.
Oh, we got about 2 minutes only, so go.
Okay, quickly, the most expensive property I've ever seen, a residential property, is currently active on the Twin Ports, and it's not even built.
Wow.
These are townhomes that have been proposed down on Water Street off 21st Avenue East. And there's one currently on the market, Jim, for $3.2 million.
Right.
And then there's several other ones within this same development that are one, and they're all 1.6. Some are 1.62, 1.625, 1.63. But man, these are premium type properties.
Yeah.
We currently have an active listing up in the Northland Estates area, right next to Ridgeview. Northern Country Club.
Right over top of the market
for $1.6 million. And the most expensive property sold in Duluth this year, Jim, is $1.4 million. That was at 4610 London Road. And so we are seeing some million-dollar activity in the Twin Ports. And we've been seeing it for the last, you know, 2 to 3 years. And to see these million-dollar properties, Jim, it's pretty wild.
That's amazing.
Where it all, and I don't think it's going to end for a while. I think these medical facilities that are ramping up, you know, I think they're bringing in talent, and I think some of the other major employers here are bringing, you know, people in, and they're buying expensive houses. And I think, you know, it's good to see it.
All right, Mr. Callagher, we got to cut you off, man. Why don't you give out your phone number one more time? We've got to get out of here.
218-390-0615. Thanks for listening.
Yes, and down here in Florida, 218-348-7653. Thanks, and everybody have a great week.